You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today's August 7th, 2017. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast today. Got a really interesting show going on, a lot to talk about. August is the dedication to Gillette month. That's right. We're dedicating August to Gillette. We're going to talk a little bit about the Gillette company, about Mr. Gillette himself. And we're also going to talk about five sought-after Gillette razors, right? That's right. Five of the most sought-after Gillette razors that our collectors are always looking for. We're going to talk about them as well. And, we're going to talk about our contest winner. That's right. We do have a contest winner. Our last actual giveaway from our previous show is going to be announced, and I will be sending that aftershave out to that person very shortly. So if it's you, definitely contact me back. I sent an email out and just reply to the email. That's right. So guys, and we're also going to have this, even though this is our final giveaway from Phoenix Artists and Accoutrements, we will have some more giveaways coming up in the future. Stay tuned, and you'll hear about it soon in the next couple of weeks. We're also going to talk about, definitely fall is in the air. We want to talk about our fall scents. The fall seasonal special is only a few weeks, if not a month away. We're getting really, really ready for that. This is the biggest holiday, not holiday season. It's more of the biggest seasonal release that we have for stuff too. So we're going to definitely talk about that as well. And let me tell you guys, I've been having a great couple of weeks over here in South Florida. It's, other than it being 100 degrees almost every day, it's very hot and humid. I've been really, really happy. I've been very, very busy at work, so I do apologize if I'm not getting back to everybody's emails right away. I've got a lot of stuff changing in my work routine. Actually moving to a different area for work, so I'll still be staying in my home, but lots of stuff going on. My wife and I are actually looking at getting another home and all this stuff. So we're always busy and we are just going crazy. So bear with me on the emails if I don't get back to you right away. But I do see them and read them all, and I will definitely respond to you. So I appreciate everybody's patience on that. And hopefully everything will be getting back to normal very, very soon. So without further ado, guys, let's get on with the show. So what's happening in the wet shaving world, everyone? Vendors, I need you guys to get to me ASAP. That's right. That is a call out to the vendors. Fall is in the air. I know this is your biggest holiday for seasonal scents and everything like that. We wet shavers are awaiting your releases. So if you are a vendor and you'd like to be featured on the show on the fall seasonal special, please contact me, joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. As soon as you can, we'll talk about it. If you are a vendor and you want to do a giveaway of some seasonal product or anything at all, just let me know. We'll also do that as well, and that'd be really cool to start launching the holiday season. So that's what I'm trying to do. I want to get some seasonal stuff to give away and do some more trivia questions. The trivia questions have been really great. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback about me kind of embedding them and making it like a secret until I just say it in the middle of the show or something like that. A lot of people have been happy. They're like, oh, it's great. I listened to the show, and I really like how you didn't have to just leave it in the show notes so that somebody can copy and paste it and just send it in. So we're going to continue to do that for the next one as well. So thank you guys for your feedback, and I will definitely continue to do it that way. All right, guys, let's talk about some Gillette stuff today. We're going to talk about Gillette. And part one, we're going to talk about the beginning. So I'm going to kind of go just go right off the top of my head. I have some notes here, but I'm going to probably elaborate a little bit more on Mr. Gillette because I am a fan and I have done a lot of studying on him in the past. So Gillette had a vision, all right? His vision, first off, let's talk about King C. Gillette. He did not invent the safety razor. We have to get this clear. A lot of people ask me that when I see them or I talk about wet shaving. Oh yeah, Gillette invented a safety razor. He did not invent the safety razor. But he did invent the double-edged safety razor blade, the disposable blade. That he did invent, and that took him a very long time to invent. It took him several years and many different concepts and ways of doing it, different steels, different ways of forging, different ways of annealing the metal just to get it sharp enough and make it thin enough to actually cut hair. So it did take him several years to do that, and he worked very hard with several machinists until it was able to be done. All right, and so again, Gillette did not invent the safety razor, but he did invent the double-edged safety razor blade, which was disposable. Now, prior to Gillette, the safety razors were the Kemp brothers, right? You've seen those razors, where they're basically a safety razor, like a shovel head with a fixed wedge blade, right? That was a safety razor, and that's what actually Mr. Gillette had, and he was tired of stropping it. So if you read, if you ever read any of his books or any of the dedication books to Mr. Gillette, he actually didn't write a book about himself, but if you do read any books that are dedicated to him, you'll notice that he was basically shaving with this Kemp Brothers razor and was tired of having to strop it. And he was like, okay, this is a great razor, I like it, but I don't want to have to strop it and tone it, it's a pain in the neck. So that's when he came up with the idea of this safety razor, the double-edged safety razor blade. Now, another thing about Gillette that a lot of people don't realize is that Gillette has a lot of patents. He has a lot of failed ideas, but he has a lot of, you know, he had a lot of definitely, he was an inventor, a struggling inventor at times, but he was an inventor. He was an author. He was a very good author, I have to admit. His book, The Human Drift, was a book that's got a concept of a metropolis city run basically where the government and everything is run together off of powered by Niagara Falls. It's an excellent book. It's very well written. It's a little loopy, a little crazy, but for the time, what he discussed about it was very, very innovative, all right? It may not have been something that worked out, but it was something that was really interesting. He wrote several books in his lifetime, and they're all very well written, and he's a very good author. In addition to many, many patents, he was an inventor just like his father, and many people in this time in the United States and all over the world were patent crazy. Everybody was trying to get a patent. They were patenting everything. They were patenting stuff that never came out. They were patenting stuff that never would come out. And when he noticed, you had Mr. Gillette looking and shaving, he's getting tired of using this Kemp Brother thing, and he's working for this bottle cap company, Cork and Seal, and he's noticing that the seals are disposable, right? So what does he do? He decides that the disposable blade would work even better. It keeps the customer to buy blades, so that once you have the razor, you still have them for a customer. Now, with the Kemp Brothers, you buy the razor. It's a wedge blade. You don't go back to buy anything else. You're done. The sale is over. Straight razors too. You buy a straight razor, you buy a strap, you never buy anything again. You never need it, right? And their straight razors at the time were so cheap. If it got to the point where it wasn't any good anymore, you throw it out and buy a new one. They were like some of them were like 75 cents. So he made this concept to where you would have to buy blades from him forever. Right, and they were disposable, and it would always stay sharp, and it would make it your shave a lot easier. It was a barber shop in your pocket, basically, right, in a small wooden case. So making the blades is the most difficult part. The razor, he had that concept down. Making the blades was hard. It took many years to do so, but eventually he did. And when the company was founded, and they finally got the stuff going, it was it just flew off the shelves. I mean, let's be honest. His first couple of years, he was a little slow, but after a while, within 15 years, he was selling millions of them, and they were actually issued to World War I for the active military. They received a Gillette razor to go shave with. So, I mean, it got really big. Reminds me of big companies like, for example, Henry Ford. I like to say that Mr. Gillette was the Henry Ford of wet shaving, right? Didn't invent the car like Henry Ford didn't invent the car, but he invented a way to make a car available to everybody, right? And I think Gillette invented a way to make a safety razor available for everybody. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't relatively the most thrifty way of doing things, but it was available, and he got it out there, and word of mouth, and people went crazy over it, and they sold a lot, tons of these razors throughout that beginning period. So, I mean, he did a great job, and you got to remember that was really, really what the idea was, to make this business. I don't even think he knew that this business would be big, as big as it was. So another thing about Mr. Gillette was he was also a big, big traveler. Right? He's still a traveling salesman. There's a lot of things with the Gillette company where he sold it, then came back, and basically after a while, I think he was just really, to be honest, when I read his couple of these books, I think he was just more like a figure, basically, where he was just like, you know, kissing babies and shaking hands at one point. But yeah, he did have an active part of the business several times in that, but he was also still a traveling salesman. He still traveled a lot, and he went and also traveled he did travel everywhere. I mean, he did live in many places and go to different places as well. So, I mean, he was more of You know, more of an outgoing, traveling salesman more than anything. And I think after he kind of gotten the company going, he kind of ventured off. I think maybe he's like one of those CEOs who are like, okay, we're just going to take care of him, I think. And again, I could be wrong. I don't know the guy. I wasn't there. But I could tell you about just by reading it, that's the kind of stuff I got from the book. So, again, don't kill me on that if I don't know if they were like he was basically like a figure or whatever like that. But it kind of seemed like that the way some of the books are written. So after that, you have Gillette. He goes and makes all these razors. You know, he's going crazy, and then eventually he's having a great old time, making a lot of money, and eventually he passes away, and that's the end of that. So the company still keeps going, and they did. They're still going today, right? So we'll talk more about that in part two. We'll work on to more of the. We'll get up to the more of the adjustable area and when that got really big, because that's really what most of us really go look for when we look at Gillette. We look for more of those adjustable razors and all that cool stuff. So we'll talk more about that in the next show. So stay tuned for next week, where we talk about part two, our dedication to Gillette Month. All right, guys, and. Well, the next thing I want to talk about is something that more about Gillette as well. Really something passionate to me is the five sought-after Gillette razors, right? I was going to put on the title the most five most collectible Gillette razors, but I don't know if that's true. I'm just going by kind of like I don't want people saying, oh, I believe this one is that and that. So I just put in five of what I thought were some of the most collectible razors you can get. And number one, I put the Gillette bottom dial. Now, the Gillette bottom dial was a razor that was really just a concept. It was a prototype, per se, right? It was only in some of the testing markets. It was not many of them were sold. You have a few thousand that were produced, right? So what happened was with this, the consumers didn't like it. The test market didn't like it. They didn't like that the adjustment dial was on the handle towards the bottom because it got in the way of their hand. So Gillette, that's when they made the decision to put the actual adjustment dial, they put it to the neck, right? So why is this razor so sought after and holds such high prices? And the reason why they hold high prices is because of the actual availability of these razors. There was hardly any of these produced, and they were just hard to find, very expensive. So that's kind of why they're holding these prices today, and why some of them about can go up to $2,000-$3,000. That's why. There was probably only maybe, I'd say, less than 3,000 made, and there's probably roughly 150 in the world right now. So that's why a lot of them will go up. They're very popular. Collectors will go crazy for them, so be careful. And watch out when you see them. If you do see one in the wild, pick one up. And if you do own one of these, hey, send me a picture. I'll put it on the show as well. So we'll feature these on the show. If any of these razors, any cool Gillette razor you have, please send it to me, and I will definitely feature it on the show. The next razor that we would have to on the sought-after Gillette razors will be the Gillette Toggle. The Toggle is one of those razors where we're in the kind of the same category. It was more of a prototype. Now, that toggle mechanism was supposed to be revolutionary, but it turned out that consumers didn't like it as much either. They liked that twist-to-open style, right? So you had your bottom dial that had the twist-to-open style, but it had adjustment dial on the bottom. You had a toggle, which had that one where you can open it up real quick and had the adjustment dial on the neck. Didn't work out. So that's why that razor is collectible and why that fetches so many high prices. You have your toggles they don't go as high for the basic toggle. Your basic 1960 toggle will go for, you can probably get one for a couple $100. But some of the rare ones, I mean, there's several versions. There's about four or five different versions of toggles that came out. Your nickel toggles and your serial number ones can go for a couple thousand too. So those are very rare. Again, a Gillette toggle, another big failure, which is the reason why they're so popular. So if you see one of those as well, definitely pick one up. And if you, again, any of your cool toggles, send some pictures. We'll feature them in the show as well. So the next razor, number three, would be the Gillette Double Ring. And the Gillette Double Ring has to be on the list for one reason. It is the first model that came out. The first model that came out that started the double-edge razor revolution, basically. So if you're using a double-edge razor right now, you have to thank the Gillette Double Ring, because that is the first one that came out with that design, right? That's the one that we just talked about. Gillette came out with that blade, and he produced it, and this is the first model. Now you can identify the double ring by the neck of the razor, where it's got two actual, like, looks like a rings. It'll have two of them on there, and that's basically it. You can identify a double ring that way. Now, if you want to identify by date, it's very difficult. They didn't start the serial numbers till 1904. They started producing the razor in 1903. So to get the actual, before, if you have one that's not serial numbered, chances are yours is from between 1903. You have one of the first 50,000 models that were made. Very rare razor as well. We're going to be getting into more detail with the double ring in the near future with a nice article and everything. We have a lot of research that I've been doing, and I'll have that coming out soon. So stay tuned for that as well. Number four will be the Gillette Fatboy Red Dot. Now, this Red Dot was the concept of the Fatboy, right? Again, we're talking about the bottom dial, the toggle, those failures, right? And you have the Gillette Fatboy Red Dot, which was they basically took the toggle adjustment mechanism and put it on a Fatboy. Again, this was another concept razor that was really only sent out for test markets and didn't really work out until they got the actual click where they actually have the design that you're used to with the regular Fatboy. Now, this was the closest one to what we have today for all of our adjustables. And this is probably another rare one. These will run anywhere from several hundred to several, you know, maybe $1,000 if you get one in mint condition in a case. Really cool razor. I was able to see a few of them as well. The adjustment mechanism is a little different. Doesn't click as much, but it's really cool. Very collectible. And this, you got to remember, the Gillette Fatboy that came after, you know, from all these concepts, this design from the Fatboy really stayed until the 1980s. So it really worked. They modified a few times, but it really stayed for several, you know, about 30 years, 28 years really, until 1988 when the last ones came off the line. So, and you know, there's still new adjustables coming out now. You'll see some new companies coming out with them soon that will kind of model that design or with their own way. And now finally, our number five would be the Gillette Cycle or the Gillette Prison. These razors are really cool because they were only issued to prisons. You cannot buy these razors in the store, really. They were not available to consumers. What they do is they require a key to open them so you can change the blade. So if you would, again, you give them to the prisoners or in the ward, right? And they were designed so the actual prisoner or person who's operating it could not open it on their own to take the blade out and basically hurt themselves or somebody else. So you had the key. Now, the thing is, they would issue like 10 of these with two keys in the box. So if you have a Gillette Cycle, great. If you don't have the key, well, it kind of hurts that you can't really open it unless you want to use like a nut drive or something. There's ways to do it. But that, you know, the key is the very valuable part. And actually, Razor Emporium is making replica keys that are very spot on. I think they have a few left at a really good price as well. So you want to check those out if you ever get a chance. If you have a Gillette Cycle without a key, if you really want one, you can't find one used. So yeah, that was a really collectible razor. A lot of them, I've seen a few of these go. They're probably the cheapest ones out of everything here. I've seen them go for $50-$60 each to $200 or $300. So I mean, really, the Gillette Cycle, I would say, would be one of the sought after razors because it was never issued to the public. All right, guys, and I'd like to announce our giveaway winner. Now, remember, the team at Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements, very generous in donating some of their awesome aftershaves to help promote basically the podcast. They want to help us out. They want you guys to get some free stuff as well. So last week I asked a question, right? What was your weirdest razor? And I got some answers. And our winner is Mark. So Mark Deutsch, if you are hearing me right now, I've sent you an email. Please respond. Let me know your address and everything like that. We'll get your aftershave out right away. And congratulations for winning. And thank you for sharing your weirdest razor story. I will wait until I will talk about it next week when I actually would like to get your permission to talk about it on the show. But we'll talk about it next week if everything's good. So thank you very much, Mark, for participating and everybody else. This is our final giveaway from Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements, but we will be doing another one very soon from several other vendors. So be on the lookout and keep listening, and you'll definitely have a chance to win. So guys, what's up with the cat? What's up with the cast? What's coming up? So we are working on the fall seasonal special. That's coming up as well. We're working on that. We want to get that going. So if you are a vendor, if you are somebody who is, if you're a salesman, if anything you do, whatever you want, and you want to talk about it, send me an email, joe.whatchevynews@gmail.com, and we will talk about it on the air. That's coming out the first week of September, actually. So we're a month away. We're going to talk about it then. So guys, be ready for it. The fall special is coming. The best season of the year, right? All right, guys. So thank you for listening to our podcast this week. Our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, for everything that he does in the community and for all of the generous the generous work he does for us on the podcast as well. The team at Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements for their generous donation of aftershaves and for promoting the giveaway segment of this podcast for the last few month and a half. Thank you guys over there. And most of all, thank you, the viewers, for listening every week. And I really appreciate everything that you guys have done for us and all the feedback that you give. So keep listening. Keep sending me emails. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to check out my blog site at shavestraightandsafe.com for tips and interesting wet shaving stories. And please feel free to contact me again anytime, joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out my YouTube channel for some videos regarding some interesting wet shaving content and crazy tips. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring an episode, please contact me as well. If you're a vendor and want to be featured on the show, you know where to find me, guys. So thank you again for listening to Wet Shaving Talk. And remember, you shave straight and shave safe, guys. See you next time.